The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me tonight. And I hope everyone had a fantastic Labor Day weekend as we close out summer. I'm sorry, I know that the temperatures tell us something completely different, but boy, you know, in my mind, it's always, especially when I was younger, school would always start the Tuesday after Labor Day. So this really was the last hurrah. I hope everyone had a safe, fun weekend. You know, I did the usual. I grilled a steak. I went to the state fair on Monday. You know, no better time to go than the last day of the fair. But it was a good time, and I liked it quite a bit. And I hope that everyone was able to get a nice day out of their time as well. Now, I'm really excited. I've been a fan of the Dead Files for a very long time, and I was just super excited when I had the opportunity to interview Cindy Kaza. Cindy, as you may or may not know, has taken over from Amy Ellen as the medium on the show. And, you know, as far as what I've always been able to see, when watching Amy Ellen, who I understand is one of the nicest people around, I think in my mind it looked like the toll of doing the show was taking her on. You know, and we talk about this in the interview with Cindy about how it is a lot of energy and a lot of it dark energy that is coming out on her. So seeing her kind of over the years, it looks like she needed a break. And I don't know the ins and outs of what happened. It doesn't really matter. But I think that a break is always good. And bringing in Cindy is a very good idea. And so I had the opportunity to interview Cindy Kaza, talking about the Return of the Dead Files, which is this Thursday, September 7th at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's a local time. And also to fill out the hour, I'm digging through my own archives, and with that, I am looking at an interview that I did with Steve DeShavi back in 2019, so it's been a while now, and yeah, he's talking about working with Amy Allen and stuff, but it's still a really good insight into the production of the Dead Files, what he's thinking, and, you know, believe it or not, I mean, I think, what are they on, like, season, like, 40 or something. I really don't remember what they're on, but when I talked with Steve DeShavi, it was at the end of season 11. So you can imagine how much time has passed since then. But once again, I am very happy to have been able to interview Cindy Kaza, and here's that interview right now. Psychic medium Cindy Kaza joins former NYPD homicide detective Steve DeShavi as lead investigator for all seven all-new episodes of The Dead Files, and The Dead Files return on Thursday, September 7th at 9 p.m. Central Time locally in the Twin Cities market. Cindy Kaza, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I have to admit, I keep wanting to call you Cindy Kaza instead of Kaza, and I am so sorry about that.
It's okay. Everyone does it. It's totally fine. Hey, Kaza, Kaza, tomato, tomato. I'm cool with it.
My last name is Bakken, and the entirety of my life has been Bacon or Bakun. And if I had a dollar for every time someone said my name incorrectly, I would be rich. If I had a dollar for every time someone said my name correctly, I would be poor. So yeah, no, I totally get it.
I think my favorite way people pronounce it is Kaza. I'm like, yeah, that sounds badass.
Ooh, I like that. I like
that. Let's own it. Let's own it.
So you have now taken on and joined Steve for the Dead Files. And I watched, back in June when you came on and stuff. And you know what's really cool about what I was watching? It's the same show, but yet it's different. It's not like intrusively different. It's still what makes Dead Files a wonderful program. And when I found out that you were taking over from Amy, to me, honestly, Cindy, I was just like, yeah, that makes sense. Honestly, that was just like,
thank you.
How was it for you to take over and join into the production?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I want to say Amy is a phenomenal medium. And I mean, she really, really is a great medium. And it was an honor to be asked to join the show. It's a great show. And it was really pretty seamless, you know. I feel like, you know, I really have to give Amy credit for doing 15 seasons of a show where these cases are really intense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, and going in, I just, you know, wanted to be respectful of you know, the show, but also bring my own flavor, be myself. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about helping families, right? Which yeah. is something that brings me... you know, a lot of joy, like to be able to sit down with these families at the end and just have a conversation with them about what we found and to let them know that they're not crazy, right? Because that's one of the biggest things people think. They're like, I'm insane. This can't be true. And then we can come in and say, you're not crazy. And that's like really healing for people.
It is interesting that does seem to be like the icebreaker to everybody. And even when like Steve goes in and it just the fact that he is being very open and listening to what they have to say. I would agree with that. And when it comes to doing these cases, and you're right, they are dark. They are like more than you see any other place. What do you do for yourself to protect yourself from these entities?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I, you know, don't really go into any investigation from a place of fear because I think that just makes it worse. Right. But I will say after the investigation is when I'm like, okay, I need some energy clearing. I do a lot of Epsom salt baths. I have somebody that I call that does distance like healing and Reiki. So I do a lot of things, you know, to maintain my emotional well-being because a lot of these cases take a psychological toll on you, right? Because you're tapping into these really kind of dark energies and, you know, meditating and finding balance and yoga and all the things, right? Because I've learned over time that without like a self-care, regimen, it really can get difficult pretty fast.
Yeah, I can imagine. Has there been anything so far that has kind of tried your, not necessarily patience, but tried your regimen in that regard as being something that's even kind of darker than you expected it to be?
Yeah, you know, I did a shock doc with Steve Shippey. It was Scream, the true story about Danny Rowling. Mm. And that one really got under my skin because I recognized how easily manipulated I was by that spirit. And that freaked me out because most of the time I think I've got it under control. And then I found myself just being super open and having all this empathy, you know, for this person who did, all, you know, committed these horrible crimes and feeling like, oh, my gosh, you know. Everything's okay. You know, he's a bad guy, but he was traumatized. And then it flipped. And I was like, oh no. Like, so that for me was a big eye opener. You know, I really need to be careful.
We had Steve on the show before for Michigan Hell House that you were on as well. And I remember some of the conversations about that. And one of the things that really stood out to me that there was some pretty intense moments in that, like hearing some of those EVPs yes. and stuff. And
oh, that one. Yes, yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And just, the you know, I appreciate that your reactions are very, they're very, and I don't mean this in a off way, authentic though. You know what I mean? Everyone's authentic.
Yeah,
but it is very much like it's almost in a way respectful of what some of that energy is and not respecting the energy, but be respectful that there is power behind that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really try to look at souls on the other side, spirits, as people, right? They're yeah. people and they have a lot of energy and we have to be respectful of you know, respectful of them. So when people go in and start yelling at spirits and, you know, I'm like, don't do that. You know, like
Right.
that's not the right way to approach it, you know?
And I appreciate being someone who investigates, but also being somebody who watches these programs, that there are programs like yours and people like yourself who are showing us the right way to do it and showing us that, because I feel that there's a lot of people who emanate what's on television, that even though it's meant to be in some regards entertainment for a lot of people, that you are also telling us, you know, we're going to learn from folks like you. You're showing us the right way to do it.
Oh, thank you. You know, and if I could just add on to that, you know, it took me a little bit of time to be open enough to deal with some of these more aggressive spirits, these darker presences, right? Because at the beginning of my mediumship development, they scared me, and I would just either tell them to go away, you're bad, I don't want to talk to you, get away from me, or I would think it was something, you know, inhuman because I was too afraid to go there. And then when I realized that eventually I was, by doing that, I was doing a disservice to the spirit world and to people in the living who needed these messages, right? And what I've come to really believe is most of the time we're dealing with people on the other side that have unfinished business, that are angry, that nobody is telling their story, or people are lying about their story or whatever, you know. And when I was able to really sit with that and say, you know what, I need to show up as like an objective observer and try not to get my own emotions too involved so I can listen to all sides. And that's when everything kind of changed for me.
And it's funny you start off that way, and now you're working on a show that has some of the darkest energy anyone's ever seen in their lives.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah, I know, right?
I can't imagine you thought that that's where your path was going to go.
I absolutely did not, but here I am. But you know, it happens when it's supposed to. If I don't think 15 years ago I would have been ready to deal with these types of cases, and now I am.
I feel like, and I had interviewed Steve a number of years ago, and I feel like the one thing that the program always can toot its own horn more about is the fact that the show doesn't just move on after a case is done, that there is help in place to keep helping the people with the stuff that you recommend. And I always feel like that's
Yeah.
something that could be said more, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's really an important part of the show. And, you know, I always kind of felt bad going in, doing investigations, and then just leaving. And then people are like, well, what? Because what if we opened it up and made it a little bit worse? It's happened. You go in, you do an investigation, then everything amps up. And then what? Right. So it is really rewarding to be a part of a show where, you know, we're able to provide support for people after we leave and set them up with mediums and healers, you know, after the fact.
Yeah, no, that's great. So the first episode of this new season is called The Butcher. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Oh man, that case is crazy. It is, you know, it's one of those cases for me where you know, I go in and I just say what I'm feeling, seeing, hearing, or know, and the reveal, I was like, wow, I can't even like I was almost like I can't even believe this is even happening. It was that intense. And
Wow.
I don't want to give away too much, but what I will say is you know, there are a combination of things happening in the home, but I think, how do I not give this away? I think when we really got down to a main source of the activity, it was something the family didn't expect.
Okay.
It was not really on the radar, right? Like, because, you know, a lot of times in a home where there's a lot of activity, there's somebody in the home that's very open that doesn't realize it. Or they've been pushing their ability away for a very long time and trying to pretend it doesn't exist. And in situations like that, you know, especially when people are depressed or emotional, it can really just create kind of its own, I don't know, portal is not the right word, but you know what I mean. It can create its own opening. Yep. And so I think that is a good case. I'm excited for everybody to see it. It's scary.
Yeah, I can imagine. Could you talk a little bit also about the process of shooting the reveal? Because we only see like what, about 5 minutes or so, or maybe a little bit more. But from what I understand, that takes a long time to actually shoot that.
Yeah, you know, it's you only see about 5 minutes at the end, but we spend, I think, about an hour, or maybe it's 90 minutes. You know, every family is a little bit different with the family talking to them. And again, like Steve and I don't share information until the reveal and the cameras are rolling. So it's it when you're seeing us react to what we're sharing, it's because we're literally hearing it, you know, for the first time from each other. And so it's really an interesting thing, right? But it's good, it's better that way, right? Because if I were to share with him what I got, then it would influence his
Yeah.
investigation and vice versa. So we keep it totally separate. But I really enjoy having, you know, the time to sit with the families and talk to them and really let them kind of get some things off their chest that, you know, that might not make it in the part that you see, but it's part of our work, and it's important. It's an important part.
All right, I'm going to step in here right now. What we're going to do, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our interview with Cindy Kaza. And don't forget, in a little bit, we have an archival interview with Steve DeShavi. We have so much going on. I hope you stay with us. You're listening to Ghostbox Radio on AIM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken. We have been talking with Cindy Kaza as we are talking about the new season of The Dead Files, which is starting this Thursday, September 7th at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Travel Channel. And we just caught up last week doing her press junket, and we had a conversation about the new season. I had some questions for her, so we're going to finish up that interview right now. So I just had a an invest I just had an event with Dave Schrader a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We hosted him over at the Anderson House in Wabasha, Minnesota, and you know, it was really fun to listen to him just pour a ton of praise on you and Shane from when you all worked on the Holzer Files, when you worked on Ghosts of Devil's Perch.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to ask you the question I asked him when he was on the show, and that was, you know, when you, I mean, you do a lot of these programs and stuff, but when you started working with Dave and Shane for Holzer Files, did you expect that bond to be that strong?
You know, you always hope that it will be, right? But you
Yeah.
never know until you're in it. And Dave is like a big brother to me. Shane is like my pal. He's like my brother, you know? And we went did a lot of investigations together, and we really did form a strong bond. And that was the first show that I was ever on that made it to series. So, and I think, well, maybe not for Dave, but for Shane as well. So we were all, you know, kind of in this thing together and creating the show together. And in that space, you do really, it's a special bond. You form a special bond for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, I will be honest though. I mean, he did say a couple times that he would push the two of you. He would be okay pushing the two of you in front of him for him to escape a scary situation. So I think you need to know this information, because I think it's important. Just always be behind him and not in front of him, I think, is the best way to move forward in these situations.
Oh, be why to be protected?
Yeah, just because in case he's going to throw you in front of him just to get out. I mean, he said it on our show a couple times. You know, he's just like, hey, if something bad happens, I'm going to put Shane and Cindy right in front of me, and I'll take off. So just I'm
Oh, he wouldn't do
just
that. He's
well, just be careful. You know, he said it a few times, so just
But I
kidding.
will say this, and now that we're on the topic, you know, luckily, I have never been shoved or pushed or had that sort of physical aggression come towards me during an investigation. Knock on wood, right?
Right.
It's just not been my experience. But I also can feel, hear, sense the spirit world in a way that's, you know, I don't know. It's more easy for me. It's easier for me. And you know, sometimes the spirit world has to do stuff like that to get people's attention. Thank
Yeah.
God they don't have to do that to me because I'm already listening, if
Yeah.
that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense, because yeah, they see you as a way to communicate much easier on their level, and to try to get someone else, like for example, like myself, who may not be able to communicate with spirit quite like that. You have to do whatever you can if you have a message that you want to give off, I'm assuming, right?
Yep, because people always say, well, why do the spirits do that? Like, why do they move things? Why do they, you know, you know, push people. And it's like, look, imagine being on the other side for 500 years and nobody is listening to you, how frustrating that is. And you get frustrated, you get pissed, you want somebody to pay attention. So then, you know, the experience for the people not paying attention maybe has to be a little bit bolder. It's unfortunate, but I think at the end of the day, you know, most of the time when you give these spirits a voice and let them get their story out, the activity slows down.
Absolutely. Now, one thing Dave did say was, because he had mentioned a couple times that he did get injured during production of both programs. And he said, you know, the first person who was very, very concerned was you. And that he was, he just, I mean, it was something that, I mean, must have really meant a lot to him, because he also brought that up, and this was serious this time, a number of times, because it can be scary when someone, and it sounds like that he got hurt a couple times. Some seemed pretty serious, actually.
Yeah, you know, I will say when we were filming Ghost of Devil's Perch, I there was an incident that occurred at a location called the Cabbage Patch.
Yeah.
And I was convinced that Dave was having a cardiac event, that something very serious was happening. And it was actually very scary. And I was so freaked out and upset because, you know, the cameras are there filming, and I started yelling at the camera guys. It's like, get that out of my face. This isn't the time to be filming. My friend's having, you know, a cardiac event, like something is wrong. And I realized after, I was like, wow, I mean, it just like that really scared me, because I thought, you know, he it was bad, and he wound up being okay. So I don't like when those things happen. I don't think anybody does. And it is unnerving for sure.
Absolutely. When you got onto the Holzer Files, and that being your first television series, were you hoping to get onto a TV series, or were you kind of reluctant about taking part in something like that?
No, I was excited to be a part of the Holzer Files because, you know, it was the first like paranormal show that I'd been offered. And I was really excited about the show because Hans Holzer loved mediums. He believed in using mediums in investigations, and you don't really find that in a lot of paranormal groups. A lot of people don't even actually like psychic mediums. They keep them, you know, away from the investigation, which I always think is very interesting. It's like, we're all kind of on the same team here, but okay.
Yeah.
You know, but the show itself, I loved the idea of going back and seeing if I could tap into the same things that the mediums that Hans Holzer brought to these locations were tapping into. I really love making that show.
Absolutely. It is unfortunate that the show is not being made anymore, because I would agree, and I've said this many times, I think it was one of the best on television. So
thank you.
It really, really was. And just as you were perfect for the program, knowing Dave for a number of years, I always said to him, you were perfect for this show, because this is the type of paranormal you are. But I still enjoy watching the shows. I actually have been to the Morris Jamel Mansion, myself.
Yeah.
Quite the place. Switching back to Dead Files. When you are doing the program and you're done, do you yourself ever check back in on any of the cases with any of the people? I'm just curious how that works. 'Cause there has to be some sort of emotional attachment when you're doing these, because you're getting so involved.
Yeah, you know, there were a couple of families that, because, you know, I helped find psychic mediums to send to the families to go after, to help them, you know, work on their properties or in their homes and stuff like that. So there are a couple of families that I had more contact with. But in all honesty, right, am I here for families? Yes. But I also have to really know how to keep my own energy safe. So if I get too emotionally involved in every case that I ever did, it would be way too overwhelming. So there's a balance, right? Yeah. It's like, and that's an important thing for us. There has to be a balance between all of it, because this kind of work, it can be very, very draining. And, you know, I think at the beginning when I started, you know, working as a psychic medium, I just didn't have good boundaries. I was like open all the time. And I learned very quickly that that is not a good place for me to be.
Right.
And So it's a balance. It's a balance.
I think it's good for people to know that because apart, and I know a great deal of very talented psychic mediums, and they would say the exact same thing. For those who aren't fully aware, it's not a light switch that turns on and off. So to your point, if you are checking in every time, you're reopening that can of worms for yourself, and that's just not safe.
Yeah, and it's just more too, there's a piece where when you give a family advice and you try to connect them with a local medium and do all the right things, there's also accountability on their end to follow through and see what works for them. And I feel like giving them the advice actually empowers them to take their haunting into their own hands and know how to go forward with that, right? So it's also empowering the families to and showing them what they can do to help themselves. So, right, it's like giving them tools.
Absolutely, because they can't in most of these cases they have to be the ones to lead that charge for change, right?
Yeah, it's all that we all have to be in charge of our own healing.
Right, because it's their space, it's their home, they have to reestablish their, if you will, their dominance, I guess.
Exactly.
That makes sense. So, if I could switch real fast somewhere else, I see, and if I can talk about this, I see that you have some events coming up that you like are doing some online classes and talks. Can you talk about that a little, please?
Yeah, sure. So you can find all my events and classes on my website, cindykayser.com, and on social media, but I teach mediumship. I love teaching mediumship. It's one of my favorite things to do. All of my courses are held on Zoom right now. So I'm teaching a medium's guide to connecting to your spirit guide. So I love that class because it helps people really open up and connect to their own guides, and they know they can, form a relationship with them, and it's really fun. I'm teaching a paranormal month-long intensive, which will be in October. And then I'm teaching, lots of classes, but I also do live events. So oddly, I do them in comedy clubs. Don't be confused. I'm not a comedian, but I've been doing this for a really long time. It's pretty funny how it all came to be. But anyway, the venues are amazing. And I do these events where I bring through people's loved ones who have passed away. So I'm doing a lot of those September, October. Excited to be back out on the road. It's also one of my favorite things to do. So yeah, come out and see me.
So, okay, that is interesting that you're doing those over at comedy clubs. Do you get people confused? I mean, at least at the beginning, perhaps a little bit like, is this the shtick, or are were
No,
they picked up
people
pretty
know
up?
what they're buying a ticket for. I mean, it's advertised as a medium, but I do remind everyone, I'm like, are you guys, you all know what you're here to see, right? Because I did have one event and I could tell, like, it was in Kansas City. I could tell these people had no idea what they were buying a ticket for, and they're like, what is happening? And so yeah,
Bringing in my grandma, that's not very funny. Yeah, no, I well, I mean, for those who are entrepreneurialists out there, you could become the comedy medium. And for those people who want to, they can become the comedy medium and see how it works out. I mean, whatever, I guess. Yeah, no, I think that's really cool that you're doing all of those things, and that if you have somebody who is not sure if they have gifts or not, but they are very interested, should they check out one of your classes?
Yeah, I'm teaching mediumship workshop for beginners in October, and that's a great course for people who are curious. It's for all levels, but it's a really great course for people who might think, I have this ability, but I don't know what to do with it. What's happening? It's fun. I keep it light. I give people tools that I think are really useful. So yeah, anybody who wants to come on, come on. It's a fun class.
That is awesome. The Dead Files returns this Thursday, September 7th at 9 p.m. Central Time, local time to the Twin Cities on the Travel Channel. Cindy Kayser is back along with Steve DeShaving, and I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Cindy, thank you so very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It was a lot of fun talking with Cindy Kayser. I've wanted to talk to her for a long time, and I've watched so many of the programs that she's been involved with. Obviously, the Holzer Files. We talked about that with Dave quite a bit. I've interviewed Steve Shippey for the Shock Doc, the Michigan Hell House. So it feels like that I've kind of been having a really good look at her career, and I've been very impressed with her, everything I've seen her in. So I was really excited to have that opportunity. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as well. Once again, The Dead Files returns on the Travel Channel with new episodes with Cindy Kaza, Steve DeShavi. That is starting this Thursday, September 7th at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, I knew I wasn't going to have Cindy for a full hour, and that's fine. And I thought to myself, well, what do I do with the rest of the hour? Well, I thought it might be an interesting idea to pull out an interview that I did with Steve DeShavi back when I was doing this show on KCOR out of Las Vegas, Nevada. And I wanted to share with everybody a little bit of that interview, at least, because it's really interesting. Steve is a really nice guy. As you will hear in the interview, I caught him during shooting break. You literally, like, he's back home and he had to go out again. So thinking about that all these years later, I thought, boy, that was actually really nice of him to give me the time, because this was just me contacting him and getting that. So here is my interview from 2019, at least part of it, 2019 with Steve DeShavi from The Dead Files. Now, Steve, when I first got in touch with you, you were shooting more episodes of The Dead Files. Now, are you done shooting for the season?
No, we are coming to the end of the last two episodes for season 11. And then we're actually going to film two episodes of season 12 before we take a break and finish up the 11 episodes in season 12. So we have our schedule going all the way into November.
Gosh, how difficult is that? How much of a rigmarole is that?
It's taxing on the body and the mind. Because, well, don't forget, I'm a lot older than anybody else on the crew, or even Amy, and especially Matt.
I really do enjoy listening to Steve talk. It's really interesting from that side of it as well. Let's do this. Let's go ahead. Let's take another break. When we come back, we're going to finish up this interview with Steve DeShavi. I hope you're enjoying it, and we'll talk about a lot more. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And join me tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, as we're going to have on Bishop Rita Strugula, who you may have seen on the Travel Channel program, Eli Roth's Legion of Exorcists. That's going to be on Wednesday. Thursday, we're going to have on David Sloan. He is the owner of Robert the Doll. Look up Robert the Doll if you don't know what I'm talking about. It's going to be very interesting. And then, of course, Friday is the return of Casual Friday, and it's going to be great. We're going to just focus on some paranormal news, some other stuff that we have going on. Anything you want to talk about, send me a note. Comment at ghostboxradio.com. If there's something particular you want to talk about, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And also, before we get back to Steve DeShavi, I just want to also remind everyone, this Wednesday, which is tomorrow, over at Billy's Bar and Grill in Anoka, we have Ghost Stories and Beyond. We have Witch Jody from Midwest Witchery and Healing in Stillwater. She's going to be there. She's going to do a talk on Wednesday. It's going to be fantastic. $10 to get in, but the food is fantastic over at Billy's. Half-price burgers Wednesday nights. Come out, check us out, say hi. We'd love to see you out there. Now let's finish our interview with Steve DeShavi. I think what's interesting, too, and I don't think a lot of people can really appreciate it, I have a background in television production. That's what I do now. And what looks like, for when people are watching you on TV, just even say that end segment with the reveal with Amy and you, what looks like it's a 10-minute piece, that takes forever to put together.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's 9 minutes on air, and normally it takes us anywhere from 4 to 5 hours to film a reveal. And that's not talking about the setup for the cameras prior to that and what we do after the reveal is over, you know, the other camera work after the reveal is over. But the actual substance of the reveal takes anywhere now from 3 to 5 hours, depending on how the reveal is going.
Mm-hmm.
And you see 9 minutes of it on air. So that you know what I'm talking about. But
I do.
The average person, like when I meet a client and that initial interview, it's what, maybe 4 minutes, 3-4 minutes on air. you know, it's, I'm sitting down with them for an hour, hour and a half.
When you're talking about the reveal, and you just said like if the real reveal is going well, it may only take 3 to 5 hours. What ends up? Are you just talking about production things that might mess that up, or is there stuff that's like happening?
No, it just depends on. Sometimes Amy, God bless her, but she has diarrhea with her mouth sometimes, and she just talks and talks and talks. You know, and I'll sit there. I'm like, all right, get on with it. You know, she'll just talk about stuff, nonsense stuff, and I'm like, all right, just get back on track. You know. But you know, stuff like that can take forever, or, you know, clients have, you know, a lot more questions if they, you know, if they just wait until the end. And I tell them this all the time, don't ask me any questions. Don't ask Amy any questions about how to get rid of something in the middle of the reveal, cause we're not going to tell you, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to, you'll get that at the end and then I'll open the floor to questions.
Yeah. Right. So, you're not going to ruin it.
Right. And the other problem is if I have, you know, three women across the table from me plus Amy, and not to sound like a sexist, but three women talking over each other, you know, I got to ask them, can you just say that again? Because nobody heard what you said because everybody else is talking over you. You know what I mean? And, yeah. And you know that for editing purposes, you know, if people talk over each other, it's unusual.
And so for people and this is something I would challenge viewers to take a look at when you watch the next episode and just actually just paying attention to the end piece, you're going to notice that there is a couple cameras that are looking at everybody. Then there's going to be at least one camera on each person, and you want to get clean responses from every single person to be able to, because you're going to be taking pieces from different parts of that interview to create your end 9 minutes, right?
Yeah. No, me, I know because I have experience. Amy just talks anyway, so it doesn't matter. But the clients don't know TV. Even if you try to give them a little lesson before we sit down, you know, how do you tell a husband and wife not to talk over each other? That's almost impossible.
Right.
You know, you know, two people that know each other really well. It's just human nature. And unfortunately, for editing purposes, it could take its time. And then... you know, it's a long process. It's a long night, and the producers don't want to start till it gets dark out for some silly, stupid reason. And you know, so now we start filming at 9 o'clock at night, and we don't get out of here till 2:30 in the morning.
Like, yeah,
I didn't get back to my hotel till almost 3 o'clock in the morning on last Thursday in Ohio, and I had the car picking me up at 5:30 to go to the airport.
Oh my God!
I didn't go to bed. You know, I just finished packing and stayed up. So by the time I got home Friday, I was a basket case. I just basically came home and just laid on the couch like, you know, because I was beat. Yeah.
I believe it. Now, we're talking with Steve DeShavi from Travel Channel's Dead Files. So since you had been convinced to be on your show, has being on your show and working with Amy, has it changed any of your views or feelings of the paranormal?
Well, see, I'm trying to get the right word without trying to sound overly educated. This is a misconception about me when it comes to the paranormal, okay? Yeah. I've never once said I did not believe in the paranormal. Not once did I ever say that. I've never said that. I've always said I'm an open-minded skeptic. My views on the paranormal have never changed. They've stayed the same. I still believe there's paranormal activity that goes on. Do I believe it's to the extent that the living are telling me it is going on? No, I don't believe anybody 100%. Mm-hmm. I have doubts in the humans that are alive more so than I have about paranormal activity actually happening.
Yeah.
And I found in my experience when people have paranormal activity in their home, everything they do is paranormal. I got the sniffles. I'm catching a cold because of the paranormal. Or me and my husband are fighting. It's the paranormal. No, you've been married for 20 years and you hate each other at this point. So, yeah, it has nothing to do with the paranormal. You know, it's stuff like that. So I've never, ever once said I didn't believe in the paranormal. People say, oh, do you believe now? No, that's crap. I've always said I believe in the paranormal. I'm an open-minded skeptic. I don't believe everything people tell me that they've experienced. And it is what it is. But, you know, things are happening. I do believe people are in distress, but, you know.
I think because you have such a matter of fact very matter-of-fact approach to it and no-nonsense way of talking to clients and stuff. You don't really show your cards, in my opinion, one way or the other. So I think I just went to the side of, you know, that you're this NYPD homicide detective that, you know, you've seen it all. But I mean, in that job and in your current jobs beyond the TV series, you still have to be a skeptic to do your job, right?
Right. And you could be empathetic at the same time, you know, which is the same thing as working a homicide or any case for that matter. My job is to get the facts, find out what's going on, find out what the witnesses saw, which would be our clients and anybody else having, you know, experiences. And then get to work on trying to solve the case. And in this case, it's trying to find who the perpetrator may be, which is the paranormal or whatever it could be, or whoever it could be. And leave it at that. I can't show, like, I'm not an expert in the paranormal by any stretch. Have I learned a lot since working with Amy? Of course I have. Because if you can't retain something, then there's something wrong with you. Of course I've learned a lot about, you know, the paranormal. But I would never in a million years tell anybody what to do with the paranormal or how to fix it. That's not what I do. My job is to get facts for Amy and let her figure it out.
Which makes it obvious that you are not part of the paranormal field, because most of them do want to tell you about their beliefs and they make you try to believe what they believe. So I commend you for that, because in my opinion, the way that everyone should approach the paranormal. I don't think anyone, even mediums, are experts in the paranormal, because I think you have to be dead. you have to be dead to be an expert. So I'm happily not. I happily am not an expert yet.
I can't agree more. There's no experts in the field. There's people that know a lot more, obviously, than others. There's people with abilities that are able to figure things out when it comes to paranormal. Amy has guides that help her out. You know, for me, it's a pragmatic case, right? Like black and white. It's just total gray area. But you know, the thing is, when people ask me, I get Facebook and Twitter and Instagram questions all the time in private messages. Steve, I have a shadow in my house. What do I do? I said, I don't know. Call Amy. I have no idea what to tell you. Well, they'll send me video of the infamous, what's that thing that floats around? Everybody's
Mothman?
Crazy about. No, the things that float in the camera. Orbs.
Oh, those.
People send me, you know, what do you think about this? And it's an orb. It's dust, as far as I'm concerned, you know. Yeah. I'm not an expert in this. I don't have any. You know, you show me a dead body, maybe I can help you out with.
I'll remember that. quite honestly, I mean, all you have to say to them is, I've been shooting this damn series for 14 days straight. Leave me alone. I've been up till 3 in the morning. Go away.
It's hard. I get thousands of messages and I try to respond. I try to, when I post stuff, I try to read every comment and either like it or delete it, depending on what they say. And, you know, it's just, it's taxing after a while. And then when I get, like I said, when I get home, you know, it's not like I have a wife to come home to that's handling the bills and all this stuff while I'm away.
Yeah.
You know, I get home, the first thing I'm doing is laundry, you know. So I complain about the traveling. I complain about the hotels that they do suck. I mean, the hotels are horrible. Locations are horrible. You know, you got to take a 15-minute car ride to get a cup of coffee. But when you see the gratification and the relief on people's faces when you give them an answer to something and they know what's going on and now they know how to, you know, attack it anyway.
Yeah.
That's gratifying. That's gratifying to me. That makes me forget about the no sleep, the 18-hour days and the, you know, dealing with the cold, the elements and, you know, getting on a plane. You know, when I see the looks on their faces and their relief of, okay, now I know what's going on in my house. I'm not crazy. This is happening. All right. And Amy told us how we can fix it. Whether they take Amy's advice or not, people get bent out of shape about that. I mean, I don't got to live there.
Yeah.
You don't have to live there. What are you worried about? They're the ones dealing with it. We gave them the tools. If they don't want to work on it, they don't want to fix it. That's up to them. That's like when I was a cop and you catch a guy that just robbed somebody and you chase them 5 blocks. You know, how to wrestle with him to get wrestle with him over a gun, lock him up, and then the woman goes, oh, I don't want to press charges. You know, what do? It's the same thing. I look at it that way.
Here's my question about
my ass.
I was just gonna say, here's my question about that, though, because I was going to ask this, and I totally agree. She's telling us what these people need to do, but some of that stuff is really, really out there for somebody who lives in a field in Kentucky to know what a chaos magician is. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with you, but Amy does give them leads on where to go.
That's good.
Yeah, so, you know, and it's, you know, a lot of times she works with a couple of teams now the last few years that she's able to give the clients their number. When the team can get there or not, I don't know. But, you know, and she'll give them, all right, there's nothing in the area, but there's a, I forget what you call these shops with all the you know, with the stones and all that. I forget what they call these shops.
Yeah.
Where they sell all this stuff. And she says, if we go to this store, they're very reputable. They give you, they can give you a good lead on, like you say, a chaos magician or a, you know, a male witch, or, you know, stuff like that. Metaphysical store, those type of stores.
Yep.
So, you know, so she does help in that aspect. But you know what? What's the old story? You lead a horse to water, right?
Oh yeah.
You can't make them drink. You know?
And we've run into that with our own investigations too. You give it to them. You know, it'd be nice if it, I'm sure there's no time because you guys cram pack those shows, but it would be nice if if there was some kind of way of seeing that Amy is helping them, because sometimes it's just like, well, good luck because this shaman only resides on the moon and you're screwed. And right. You know, it's just,
well, we used to do revisited episodes.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
We did. It's not now that they're doing something else called Revealed, and which I'm not crazy about, but we used to do revisit episodes where they'd show the actual people coming to help and what they did. We've had people get exercised on those episodes, and you know, the network pulled it out from under us. They stopped. They don't want to film them anymore. And I think it's a shame, because those people love the revisit episodes, because they can actually see like a shaman doing his thing, or a chaos magician, or, you know, a witch.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Steve DeShavi. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Cindy Kaza. Don't forget, this Thursday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time is the Return of the Dead Files on the Travel Channel. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've been enjoying the new episodes since Cindy had joined. You know, I miss Amy as well, but it's good to see that they're able to keep the program going. Tomorrow, we're going to have on Bishop Rita Strugala. You would have seen her in Eli Roth's Legion of Exorcists. That's pretty exciting. So join us for that. Otherwise, we hope to see you Wednesday at Billy's as we bring on Ghost Stories and Beyond, Billy's and Anoka. Have a great night, everybody.